You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Glory! Well, everybody ready?
Yes.
Turn with me to Hebrews 10. We've been teaching on the subject of faith. I'm going to stay on that subject. Tonight, I just want to take apart a few scriptures. Sometimes I get something that just comes alive to me, pertinent to what I'm teaching on. Faith and patience, bold faith, I don't know what we'll call this. It's going to have a little bit to do with both those things. You know, when we talk about faith, faith is a confidence. It's a boldness. It's a certainty. It's an assurance. It's not just a hope. Hope's important. You have to have hope. Without hope, you have nothing for faith to put substance to. If you have no desire or expectancy at all, then faith can't really do anything for you, because faith puts substance to the things hoped for. You know, that's what Scripture tells us in Hebrews 11:1. So you don't want to lose hope. You want to keep hope alive, no question about that. But now trusting God and believing God is more than just hope.
That's right.
I think that's where we miss it sometimes. Often I'll talk to people and, you know, ask them what's going on in their life, and they'll say, well, this is going on, that's going on. I ask if they prayed about it. Yes, we have. And I say, well, I just believe it's going to be all right. And they'll say, well, I sure hope so. Well, now, see, that's the difference. Now, I don't mean that negative. I'm not trying to be sarcastic or critical, although it is a criticism. It's constructive criticism. We've got to move beyond just a hope so. That's kind of a wish, you know.
Right.
Well, I sure hope so. Well, you're just wishing. You're wishing it would happen, but you really don't know. And honestly, many times we say it like that, it's almost like we're pretty sure it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I sure hope so. You know, well, that's not faith. Faith is a certainty. Faith is an assurance. Faith is a boldness. Now, I don't think it's just mechanical. I don't believe it's mind over matter. If you just be bold enough and if you just say it loud enough, it'll happen. No, because that's just mechanics. Are you with me? But when it is in there and you are believing, it will come out with certainty. I mean, I've done construction for years of my life and built houses and industrial cooling towers. I did a lot of carpenter work. I've done plumbing work, electrical work, just a little bit of everything along the lines of a house. And if it's something I know something about and somebody asks me, I can tell them with certainty what to do if it's something I've done. You know, I don't say, well, you know, you just put the white wire on the top and black on the bottom and just hope it works. Hello. Or you just use this size nail on this size board and you put it together. I hope it stays together. No, that's something I know something about, and I could say that with certainty and say, well, no, this is what you need, this size nails, and you need to use these kind of wires, and you need to get these kind of plugs, and this on and on and on and on, and just go through a list of things. And I'm not hoping, I'm not guessing, I'm not wishing, I'm not saying give it a shot, see if it works. I know. That's
right.
And I believe that'll work. I know that'll work. I've done it many times. Are you with me? And faith is like that. When we go into faith, it's a certainty. And you may say, I don't feel so certain about it. Well, here's where I would encourage you to act certain. Stay with me. I know you just said it wasn't something you willed. It wasn't something you just mind over mattered. It wasn't something that's just mechanical. It's more than that. I understand that. But sometimes you can act your way into faith. In other words, you'll start getting bold about it. Start quoting the Scripture when you're really, it's not working as it should in your life. You're trying to get it working. You know the Bible's true, generally. But specifically, we're struggling with this little deal we're praying about here. Are you out there? You listen to me. So what do we do? How do we get beyond hope into faith? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We know how faith acts. We've got several different cases of people who operated in faith. The Bible said they received by faith, and we can copy that boldness. Faith is an assurance and a boldness. We can start saying with boldness, God's Word is true, and God said this, and I am standing on His Word, and according to His Word, it's going to come to pass, even when we don't feel it. Are you with me? And I guarantee you, God guarantees you, if you will continue to do that, your faith will build.
Yes. Yes.
There is a confession of faith, which I'm confessing what I'm believing. And then there's confession unto faith.
Right.
I'm getting myself to the point of faith.
Right.
But if you just stop that horse, okay, and you just take it to the barn and say, well, I'm just not going to make this confession until I feel it, you know what? You might as well sell that horse. because he's not coming back out of the barn. You're going to have to start out in faith. You're going to start out acting on it,
yeah.
saying it, praying it, yeah. talking it up.
That's right. That's good.
And then your confidence will build, your faith will build, because the word you're hearing out of your mouth over and over will change the inside of you.
Yeah.
I've often heard people, in fact, I was ministering one time in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and I was praying for people. I had them all lined up, and I was praying for laying hands on to be healed. I just got through teaching on several individual healings that took place in the New Testament. And I'd get through praying for them, and I'd say, okay, make this confession, I'm healed in Jesus' name. And so a few of them did. I got to this one lady, and I said, now let's make this confession, I'm healed in Jesus' name. She says, I will not. And I said, you can't appear to be prayed for. I'm just praying for you. I just, you heard the teaching, and we're standing on God's word. We're going to say in Jesus' name. I'm not going to lie about it. I'm not lying about it. You know, I told God, I made a vow, I'd never lie, never let a lie come out of my mouth when it comes to confession of my faith. And I said, well, ma'am, you just came up here to be prayed for. I just laid hands on you. I expect you believed. I thought you did, you know. I'm just asking you to make a confession on the basis of God's word. That's what we're asking. And I mean, she made a scene. Her husband stood up and hollered at me, and they stormed out of the building. I'm telling the truth. Brenda was there. Isn't it good to have your wife here to tell you? Got a second witness. But it's amazing to me how we think we're lying when we're standing on God's word.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to rain tomorrow. Y'all better get... It's going to freeze tomorrow. Better get those plants in. Well, how do you know? You're not a weatherman. I heard it on the news. You believe that person on the news? You know how accurate they are, those weather people? And I realize I do the same thing. We all do it. But we use faith and we confess things constantly all the time that hadn't happened
right.
on the word of someone else that told us it would happen.
That's right.
Well, this is God telling us it's going to happen. And if anybody questions us about it, say, well, that's what God said. Let me show you. It says right here, thus and so. And I stood on that. I believe it's going to be just like God said it's going to be.
That's right. That's good.
And say it with some confidence and say it with some assurance. Now, Hebrews 10, found it? Along those lines, thinking along those lines. And then you have to just hang in there, okay? That's where patience comes in. You just have to be patient, be patient. Everything doesn't happen overnight. I believe it's a done deal in the spirit when I pray. I happen to know it doesn't look any different sometimes after I pray. Sometimes I don't feel any different right after I pray. It doesn't change God's word. His word's true.
That's right.
Amen? He said, if I'd pray, I'd receive. He said, I believe. When you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have them. Mark 11, 20-24 says, whatsoever things you desire, Jesus speaking, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them.
Amen.
Now see that? It says, believe when you pray, believe you receive them. So when did you receive your healing? Well, I hadn't got it yet. Wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute. You hadn't got it yet. Have you prayed? Yeah, I prayed, but I'm still waiting on it. Well, no, when you prayed, you received it.
Yeah, that's
right. It says, when you pray, believe you receive when you pray, and you shall have them.
Right. Come on, that's good.
That's where patience. You just wait and wait. But as far as you're concerned, it's done. You have God's word on it. You just thank Him. Praise God, I am healed in Jesus' name, according to the word of God. Are you with me?
That's right.
And you say it boldly and confidently, because God can't lie. You know, maybe it's not... Didn't happen overnight. Maybe it didn't happen a week or two or a month. But we're not quitting. We're not going to give up. You know, you heard a story about that little kid kicking that screen door, had the hook on it, and kicked it, trying to get out, just a little kid, and kicked it. Finally got so mad, he just kicked it one more time, turned around, went back in the house. And the last kick, the latch came off. He turned around too quick. One more kick was all it took. But he quit and he gave up. So we don't need to give up. We need to hang in there. Keep believing. Just keep believing. Keep believing. Keep believing. You say, well, how long are you going to confess that and stand on that and say that? Well, I keep doing until I see it. Yeah, but I don't see anything. Well, that means I'm going to keep saying it then. Yeah, but you keep saying that and you didn't look any different. Well, that means I need to keep saying it then. Are you with me? Well, how long are you going to keep confessing that and believing that and standing on that? I mean, you know, nothing's happened. Yeah, I want to keep standing on it and saying it till it does happen.
That's right.
What are you going to do then? Then I'll believe for something else.
That's right.
Faith does not deal with what's seen. Faith deals with what's not seen.
That's
Why would I believe for something I'm looking at? Well, I just can't believe it unless I see it. Well, if you see it, you don't have to believe it. If you feel it, you don't have to believe it. It's not a matter of faith when you feel it. That you don't need faith if the money's in your hand. You don't need faith if you're feeling well. You don't need faith if it looks okay and everything's fine. You need faith when it's not looking okay. When the money's not in your hand. You need faith. Faith deals with the unseen. It doesn't deal with the seen. See, you may believe I was going to be here tonight, but I'm here now. You don't have to believe I'm here now. I'm here. You don't have to use any faith at all concerning my presence in this building right now. You're looking right at me. Here I am in living color. Are you with me? But before you arrived, I mean, you had faith that I would show up. I had faith you would. Here you are. Really, I was believing for more, but anyway, that's another story altogether. But well, obviously I wasn't. If I was, they'd be here, I guess, if I really believe. But you believe for what you don't see. See, faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that old, see, it's a crazy saying, I'll believe it when I see it. No, you won't. You'll know it when you see it. You don't believe what you see. You see what you see. You believe what you don't see. That makes sense? We get it all messed up, you know, in our thinking and try to make faith a physical sense. It's not a physical sense. It's a spiritual sense. So anyway, along these lines, Hebrews 10, I'm throwing a lot out here talking about faith. Notice what it says here in the 35th verse. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. I believe King James says great recompense of a reward. It's actually just all one word in Greek. It has great, rich reward. What does? Your confidence. That's interesting that he would use that word confidence. And he's talking about faith now. And he's talking about believing and standing on God's word. Next verse says, for you have need of patience, King James, endurance, New King James, so that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. That's interesting. Because once you stand in faith and you exert your confidence, you let go of your confidence, you declare and decree and confess God's word, his promise, you enter into faith, then you just need to be patient. That you might receive the promise. In other words, it takes a while sometimes. Some things happen quick, some things happen longer. I don't understand all that. I know what God says, and you know, I don't know why sometimes I pray for things and immediate manifestation takes place, and sometimes it's later, sometimes it's, you know, slow, fast. I don't understand all the time. But you know, I don't let what I don't know keep me from doing what I do know. What I do know is that the Word works. What I do know is that God tells me to believe Him, trust Him. What I do know, He tells me to believe that when I pray that I receive it. What I do know, He tells me if I keep saying it, keep praying it, keep walking in faith, it's going to come to pass. That's what I do know. Now, I may not know everything else, but that's what I do know. Don't ever let what you don't know keep you from doing what you do know. Well, why did all this happen? I don't know why all that happened, but I know God's good. Well, why did God do that? Wait a minute, I don't know if God did that. I know God didn't do that because God said He's good. But how do you figure all that out? Well, I can't figure everything out, but I know God's good. I know Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead and cast out devils and gave to the poor and stopped storms. I know that. So I don't let what I don't know keep me from believing and standing on what I do know. Well, surely God was doing it. Well, surely He wasn't. I've never seen Him do it through Jesus. How do you explain? I don't have to explain everything. Some things I do know. Because I know something doesn't mean I know everything. But what I don't know doesn't do away with what I do know. Y'all tracking with me here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Because what happens is you start forming theories and start speculating, start psychoanalyzing, and a lot of commentary. Bible commentaries are filled with psychoanalysis and theories and hypothesis about what God probably was doing and what God might have been trying to do. And God didn't say any of it. They just didn't understand what happened, so they formed a theory and they formed a hypothesis and they formed a scenario. And yet, over here, we know this. And they should have just stuck what they did know. God's not my enemy. He's my ally. He's my friend. He's my father. He loves me. He's for me. He's not against me. He doesn't hate me. He loves me. He's crazy about me. So what's going on in the world? Well, there's a devil the Bible talks about. There's a fallen world we live in. There's sin. But God's not the bad guy. This is not good cop, bad cop. Okay, this is not Jesus good cop, God bad cop. No, they're both the same. Woo! So what I need to do once I've prayed and everything seems like it's falling to pieces and coming apart and at the seams and the bullets start flying and the opposition comes and the battle starts raging and I just prayed, I just started praying, now it seems to have gotten worse. What I do? Don't cast away your confidence. But you have great reward, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. I love that. In fact, that word confidence there is the Greek word parousia. Parousia is the Greek word translated confidence. It's actually translated boldness in many other cases. You remember in the book of Acts where they abducted Peter and John for healing that lame man at the gate beautiful? Mm-hmm. And, abducted them and interrogated them. And, of course, Peter's filled with the Holy Ghost and stood up and said some things, you know. And it says when they perceived the boldness of Peter and John, they took note that they had been with Jesus. That word boldness, same word translated confidence right there. And then, you know, when they were let loose, Peter and John were let loose and they went back to their company. It says they all prayed together and the power of God came in the place of shaking. And they said, behold their threatenings, is what Peter said, led to this prayer, this corporate prayer. And he says, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants boldness, that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Well, that word boldness is the same word here that's used there. There is a connection between boldness and faith. You can't separate the two. If you're really believing, you're very bold about it. Very bold, very outspoken, plain spoken. That word translates plain spoken, outspoken. This gospel we preach, we use great plainness of speech, the Bible says. What is it, 1 Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 3? We use great plainness of speech. That's the same word translated boldness here. So we're not confused about faith when we believe God. We're not wondering when we're believing God. We're not timid when we're believing God. We're bold when we're believing God. And we don't need to cast away that boldness, that confidence that we start out in. You know, Jesus, one thing they said about him over and over, you know, is that he spoke with one as having authority and not as the scribes. He had no backup in him. He'd say things matter-of-factly, very plainly, very simply, very succinctly. I mean, he didn't leave any room for error or doubt or gray area. You know, he just said it the way it was. You know, he said, ask and you shall receive, seek, you shall find, knock, and the door will be opened. If you ask anything in my name, I will give it to you. And I quoted that over in Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Now here's how he did not talk. Ask and you shall receive sometimes depending on what kind of mood God's in. Ask and you shall receive sometimes, and sometimes God will say no, and sometimes God will say, wait a while. What sort of things you desire when you pray? Cross your fingers. Hello. Hope. You know, hope something happens. You never know. You might get something. No, he didn't talk that way, did he? Everyone that asketh will get something every once in a while. You know, every once in a while they'll get something. You don't ever know when, but just keep asking because maybe one of those times you'll get it. See, he wasn't gray. There's no gray area with what he said. If you're going to take Jesus' words, they were very plain. They were very succinct, very bold, very clear. I mean, he made no qualms about it. God was good. Devil's bad. Thief comes, steal, kill, destroy. I've come that you might have life, that you might have more abundantly. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Yes, well, so be it unto you. Let it be to you according to your faith. Yeah. As you believe, so be it unto you. Woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. Yeah. Wow, it's a miracle. I don't know why, but it happened. You might try next time. Nothing may not happen next time. But, you know, hey, it happened this time. And we thank God for it. You never know what the Lord's going to do. Jesus didn't talk that way. I mean, you cannot follow Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and not be really overwhelmed. If you're honest and you're objective, you cannot follow Jesus in those four Gospels and not be overwhelmed with the boldness and the plainness of speech that he used. Especially when he prayed. And especially when people got miracles and healings in their lives. The way they talked. Their determination, their passion. Taking the roofs off, pressing through crowds. Hollering out when everybody's telling them to be quiet. Son of David, have mercy on me. Would not be denied. A boldness about them. See, there's a connection between boldness and faith. What is it that you're boldly standing on the word for? That's a good question. Because that's the only thing you're going to get.
That's right.
You let somebody come tell me I'm not going to heaven. You should let somebody tell me Jesus didn't save me, didn't wash me wash me in his blood, and he didn't pay the price for my sin. That's going to go real big with me. I'm probably going to say, really? No, I'm not. I'm going to say, yes, he did. I know. I accepted him 35 years plus years ago. I'm born again. I've been saved. He's moved in my life. He's answered my prayers. He's touched me so many times. He changed me. I've been born again.
Amen.
I'm not in doubt about that. There's no gray area there with me. I mean, that's what the Word says, and I'm very bold about it. And I don't mind telling somebody that. Hello. Well, that's what we're talking about. You know how I'm bold about that. You're bold about it. You should be. You should be very plain, there's no gray area there. I remember I was in a television station in San Luis Potosi, Mexico. Down there teaching on Revelation. And in a venue there, and what was that? Some.
You did it three times.
Yeah. But that television channel wanted to interview us because it was like the end of 1999, going into the 2000s. So there's a big hype going on, about the end of the world. And so I got on this. It was the main news channel there in San Luis.
Yeah.
And so I had to sit down with an interpreter, and they interviewed me on their news spot, like their morning news, And so I sat there in their studio, and I was going through this interpreter, and they're asking questions about, the end time and so on, about the Antichrist. And, I was just answering, with Scripture and a little bit of current events that were going on in the world today with the European Union and, the Euro that's over in the European Union and so on. We talked about that, talked about Israel, and talked about a lot of things. And, of course, ultimately, when do you think he's come? Do you think this is the end of the world? And I said, well, first of all, Jesus said no man knows the day or the hour. So anytime you put a date on it, you're going to be wrong because only God knows the day and the hour. And the last question he asked, the interview asked, and I thought, give a dog a bone. The last question he asked, he says, well, what would you say that we could do to prepare ourselves for this end of the world, this coming to the Lord that you talk about here? Now, nothing religious now. He said, not religiously, but how can you? He didn't want me to give a religious answer. Nothing religious. And I just smiled. I thought, oh, God, this is too good. This is way too good. I said, well, there's only one thing you can do. Whether you're Protestant or Catholic or neither one, you must accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior because there is no other way to prepare yourself for the end of the world. And at that time, we closed the interview. He thanked me for the interview. and we talked a little bit in English after the interview. Of course, on the camera, he had to talk to me. He said, you need to learn some Spanish and come back down here. I said, yeah, I do. I really do. Well, they replayed that afternoon. They played that night. And got a lot of phone calls because it was a long segment. I was surprised because it was quite a long segment for just a newscast. It was 10 minutes probably, which is a long segment for a news thing. But I thought, what if I just cratered right there? What if I just gave some mamby-pamby, wimpy answer? That wasn't the time to do that. Are you with me? And something, looking back at it, it was not only not the time to do that, there's no way I could have done it any other way. I was excited about the question. I was thinking, oh, yes, if I could have written the script, that's the way I would have ended it right there. But the point is, we are bold about what we believe. I had no problem with that. I was bold. I thought, man, this is awesome to end this way. Tell them how to be saved. Accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and end the, woohoo. Man, they're going to go away with knowing there's only one thing you can do, whether you're Protestant, whether you're Catholic, because a lot of Catholics in Mexico. So that's what we're talking about. People ask questions. You know, you don't have to be arrogant about it, but you sure need to be bold about what you believe. And if you do believe it, you will be. You're going to be questioned about all kinds of things, about your faith in Jesus for heaven's sake, faith in healing, faith in finances, faith in marriage, faith for, you know, for peace over depression. When chaos is all around you, you need peace. Well, you're believing for it. You're standing on, you know, things don't look too good. People ask how you doing. You ought to say, I'm blessed, too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. You know, just starts quoting the word. I'm blessed. Blessed and can't be cursed. That boldness is what we don't need to cast away. I'm amazed at how too much aware we are of what people think. I love people, and I'm not out to offend people, but who cares what people think when it comes to your family and your body and your finances and your life and your ministry and your walk with God? I'd be more concerned about what God thinks than I would about anybody else. And you can be kind to me, bold. You don't have to be rude. Don't be a rude dude now. Lose the tude. But don't lose the boldness. Don't grow old and get complacent. Don't get, you know, grow old in Christianity, serve God year by year by year, and get to where it's kind of blasé. This is not blasé to me. I get excited every time I come down here. I love to preach. I love to minister. I love this church. I love serving God. I count it a joy, a privilege, and an honor every day to get up and have an opportunity to serve the Lord. I'm blessed. Amen. Every day on this earth, blessed. And when I get to heaven, it's going to get better. Amen. When we leave this earth, it's going to get even better. So he says this, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, your boldness, your plainness of speaking, which has great reward. For you have need of patience or endurance. That word translated patience, there's hamonini, is the word in the Greek. It's translated endurance in other places and patience in other places. And they're like helpers, I guess you'd say. You know, if you don't have any patience, you're not going to believe God very much, I can tell you that. Because they work hand in hand. That's what they do. You know, people get discouraged. I talk to people all the time that, you know, they prayed one day and the next day it didn't happen and they're ready to quit. Yeah. Well, that's not what God's looking for. God's looking for people who will endure to the end. To the end, meaning till the consummation of it. Till you see the manifestation of it. You keep saying it, keep praying it, keep believing it, keep standing on it. We have stood on things in this church for years and years and years. And we've been here now 28, going on 29 years. And, you know, sometimes I walk around and it's almost like walking around in a dream, looking around and seeing all that God's doing, the food ministry and the mission support that we do, and the building's going up and the concrete. And, well, you know what? It didn't start out that way. That didn't happen in 1 year. That didn't happen in 10 years. Hello. In fact, you know, if you told me way back then this is how long it would take, I might have quit. I don't know. I might have got discouraged and quit. But then you think about it, what you're going to be doing anyway in 20 years. Listen, if you're alive and Jesus hadn't come back, you should still be believing God in 10 years from now, 20 years from now. And look at all that you miss out on when you stop believing. Because the thing just builds. Great successes really are accumulation of small successes sustained and maintained over a long period of time. They really are. There's nothing out here that's a one-time confession. Nah, there's not nothing out here that's just a one-time prayer. What you see here is a bunch of people believing and staying together and hooking up together and, you know, through thick and thin, and tough times and good times, continue to believe, not throwing away their faith, not throwing away their trust, being patient, just keep rocking on, walking by faith, year in, year out, cold weather, hot weather, high cotton, low cotton, no cotton. I went through some years I worked, you know, on a what they call quote-unquote secular job, did that for a few years, worked on a market, built houses, did what I had to do, had a family to raise, but still had a call, still had my faith, still had my goals, still had my dreams, and everybody else did too. We just kept going. We got through that period of time, went through a period of time. We were behind on bills, but you know what? We kept calling them in, We caught up on each one. We paid all of our late payments. We paid off everything early. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now we're out of debt. Been out of debt since 1997.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, just exciting to me. But you know, we didn't quit. That's the thing. We just didn't quit. God's not looking for quitters. He's looking for people who will stand, people who will continue on, who will not stop. There are going to be battles. There are going to be setbacks. There are going to be obstacles. You have an enemy. Every day is just not going to be beautiful. But every day is still the day the Lord has made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. I love that, you know, where it says, Psalms 118, verse 24, 25. Says, this is the day the Lord has made, and I'll rejoice and be glad in it. The next verse says, save now, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now, O Lord, prosperity. Nobody hardly quotes that next verse, but that's what the next one says. Man, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now, O Lord, prosperity. Woo-hoo. That's the way you start the day out. Amen. So we have patience. We have need of patience or endurance. That after we, you know, in fact, James, in James 1, where it says, let patience have her perfect work. You know, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. That third verse there. And it says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be entire, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I love that. Those two words, patience, right there in those two verses. Same word translated here, endurance. It is an endurance. It's not just a being calm. It is actually an enduring, a long suffering, as it were. You're enduring it. You're staying. You're hanging tough. You're a soldier. You come into a contract. You made a vow here. You're going to believe God. You're going to trust God. You're not a fair weather faith friend. Hello. You committed to trusting God. No matter what happens, you're going to trust God. And you know what? No matter what happens, God's going to bring it to pass. You just have need of patience. Let patience have a perfect work. Hang in there. Don't give up. If you will be patient, you'll be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The manifestation will come. That's that Greek word there. In fact, turn over to Hebrews 6. I'm just shooting from the hip tonight. Is that okay? Hebrews 6. Notice what it says here in the 12th verse. That you, 11th verse. 10th verse. Okay. For God is not unjust or unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. This is very, very important. Sometimes we get tired in a battle. We get tired. We feel like we're the only one, you know. I'm out here all by myself. I get this way sometimes. I really do. I have to fight this. Especially if I'm here at the church doing something that I think somebody else should do. I'm just being honest. I mean, I'm having to do something I shouldn't have to be doing. I've been pastor. I've been pastor for 28 years, and I'm still doing this. Somebody else ought to be doing this. You know, or I'm cleaning up or picking up or doing something. You know, I mean, we're so special. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. And then I'll catch myself and think, God, I was going to hell. What am I complaining about? I'm saved. He saved me. I'd do anything for Him, you know. What am I doing? Why is that going in my brain, going through my thinking? God sees everything I do. He is not unrighteous nor unjust to forget my labor of love. See, that's where you get frustrated sometimes. Well, why don't more people do? Why don't we do? Listen, hey, don't ever come and talk to me about that. I'm the pastor. I fight that every day, okay? That's one of my big fights in my mind. I know better. We got good people. We got hard workers, and we got a great church. But there is a tendency. That's one of the things I fight. So if you're praying for me, pray that for me. I know better, too. I know better in my spirit. I know the devil. I can recognize him when that stuff starts picking up. Nobody knows the trouble I see. You know, I'm all by my... Nobody knows what I have to go through, what I have to do. Oh, really? Jesus died on the cross. What did you do? Paul bore stripes on his back. Was shipwrecked, thrown to the lions. Oh, yeah, you got a rough life serving Jesus. It's really tough, isn't it? Okay. So he says here that God sees it. He sees you, and he's not unrighteous or unjust to forget that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. You know, whether it's working in food ministry, cleaning the building, working in the nursery, teaching classes, or 900 other things that go on. It's amazing how much goes on in the church and how many people do how many things. My goodness, it's just amazing. We always miss people. We don't thank people enough. I know I don't. That's one of my downfalls, that I don't stand in the pulpit and point out people and thank people for what they do, for the years that they've served. You know, I think Tommy and Melissa, they work with the youth for years and years. They work with you. Tommy, 2 years ago, said, you know, I believe God's moving me in a different direction. I'll go ahead and do the class till you get somebody. I said, fine. Well, 2 years I think it's been. He's still doing the class. I ain't got anybody. I'm sorry. But you know, people do things in the church and we don't recognize them. We don't thank them. But you know, God knows. That's the point I'm getting to. God knows, and don't let something you're doing, a good thing, become an open door for the devil to get you out of faith. Because here you are, I mean, here I am, serving God, doing great, pastoring the church, and a little thing like that will get in me, and I'll start thinking about, you know, nobody sees this, nobody does, somebody else ought to be doing this, and then I'm in sin. I'm getting in sin now. And my faith's not working. Hello? My confidence is getting down here now. I'm not being patient. Hello? Woo! Okay. Talking to anybody?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So he says this. He says, God's not unrighteous to forget. And we desire that each one of you, 10th verse, show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope till the end. You hang in there to the end. Don't you give up now. Don't you stop and quit and get frustrated. 12th verse. That you do not become sluggish or slothful, but imitate or follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I love that. That word patience actually is a little different Greek word, but it still has the same connotation. It actually talks about long suffering. Makronamihi, namihi. Yeah. Thank God you don't have to repeat that one. But anyway, that's the Greek word, and it's the same word over there used in James 5, where it talks about a farmer waiting for the harvest, waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. He has long patience for it, long suffering. Sometimes we have to suffer, not suffer in the sense of God do anything to us, but we're waiting, we're waiting, we're waiting. We've believed, we've stood, we've worked, we've stood on the word. No fruit seemed like, no manifestation. But you know what? We're long suffering. We endure. We have need of patience. We through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hallelujah. It's not just a great, easy ride. It's not just, you know, okay, I believe God. Man, everything's just going to be lined up for you. It's going to be a bed of roses. You're going to wake up in the morning, Mr. Bluebird's going to be on your shoulder. No, I mean, there's going to be some battles. That's okay. I mean, God doesn't say you don't fight. He just says you win. If you don't quit. The only way you can lose is by default. The only way you can lose is to not fight. If you fight in Jesus' name with the word, you will win. Some battles last a little longer than others. Sometimes we get stirred up about a cause or stirred up about a need, and boy, we get on it. We're passionate. We get on it. But as it draws out, we lose our passion. You know, it's the same way in wars in any country. I don't care what country it is. I don't care what war it is. We think World War I and World War II, you know, was just a breeze. Everybody's passionate, everybody's patriotic. But people get tired as wars drag on. Everybody wanted to do something at 9/11, and rightly so. Everybody wanted to do something. We wanted to go find these people. They need to be brought to justice. This needs to be stopped, these terroristic acts on the United States soil, and 3,000 people were killed in Twin Towers. Unconscionable, abominable. Somebody's got to do something. We're the most powerful nation in the face of this earth, and we ought to do something about that. And everybody was behind that. There was no Democrat. There was no Republican. There were no independents. Everybody was an American waving a flag. I never saw so many flags. You remember that? I never saw so many flags in this country, streets, businesses, flags everywhere. But see, after about a year, all of a sudden, the long-suffering's not there. The fight gets old. We get tired, you know. Well, that's just a big example that we can all jump on. And you all in this building know this. This is history that we've experienced in our lives with our country. Well, listen, faith's not much different than that. You start out in faith. God's looking for people who go for the long haul in this thing. He's looking for us who will not quit, that we will believe God and stand on His Word. And if it takes a week, fine, or a month, fine, or a year, fine, or 2 years, or 5, or 10, or 15, there are things that God, I have a charge to keep as a pastor that He's placed in my heart that don't happen in 10 years and they don't happen in 20 years. And some things I'm believing and standing on won't happen in my lifetime. And you're the same way. You have a charge to keep. You and I, all of us, have a charge to keep. There are children that are watching you, grandchildren that are watching, great-grandchildren are watching, people that if Jesus tarries and you go on, that'll be affected and changed by your faith while you lived. Man, that's what I'm talking about. Patience, patience. Well, and I'm trying to believe God for one little thing here, and I want to give up after a week or two. Oh, no, come on, you hang in there. You stay with the stuff. You know that analogy, I've used it before. Faith is like a train, and the engine is, you know, is faith. You know, it's the confession of your faith. You confess boldly the Word of God. You confess your faith. And then the caboose, which we don't have those anymore, but used to you had a caboose on a train, you know, at the very end. You always had that thing at the end. And the caboose is the manifestation of it, where you really feel it. You got this engine and you got this caboose. You got faith and you got your manifestation. You got your confession of faith. Hallelujah. And then I feel it over here. But there's a lot of cars in between, and every one of them is patience, 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 until you get to that manifestation. So if you're going to get on this faith train, you're going to have a little patience before the caboose comes around, the manifestation. And that's why he's saying, through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Wow, that's good stuff, isn't it? Turn over to James 5. We'll just close out with that. Sometimes that's the key. I hope I'm not guilty of this. I know ministers that I've listened to, books I've read, are the people I esteem highly, Brother Osteen, Kenneth Hagin, different ones that go on to be with the Lord. Lester Summerall, they never said it this way. I never got it this way, and I'm not this way. But some people get the idea that we preach that all you got to do is just say something one time, it just happens. Or, you know, you just stand on word and everything's just going to be all right. Well, no, I've never preached that. If you come here, you know, you're going to have to keep standing, but you don't quit. You don't give up. Hello. You may feel worse the next day. I don't know if you're believing for healing. But it doesn't change God's word. It doesn't change what He's saying. You just keep praying. You keep saying it. You don't go by your feeling, you go by your heart. See, with a heart, man believes. Yeah. Didn't say with a hand, man believes. You can't believe with your hands. You can't believe with your eyes, with your ears. So even to say I don't feel it, well, what is that supposed to mean? You can't believe. Feeling is different from believing. I chose to believe. I chose not to pay attention to what I feel. That was the whole point. That's why I prayed. Isn't that right? Because my feelings were telling me something I didn't want. Yeah. The mirror I was looking in showed me something I didn't like. The wallet I opened up and the checkbook I was looking at, balanced out, didn't look right. So I decided to believe God. Yeah. So why we want to go back to the checkbook and back to the feeling, that's why we started in faith. Are you with me? That was the whole reason we left all that, because we didn't like all that. And God had something better over here for us, and He made a promise to us, and we're going to stand in faith and get this thing. Now we're in faith. Don't pay attention to your feelings. Are you out there? Or if you choose to do so, then you just have to get back out of faith again. That's the only way you could do that. You'd have to get out of faith and get back into feeling. Well, what's the point of that? If you got in faith, you're supposed to stay in faith till you got it. Okay. Well, I planted all that stuff, but I just don't see anything happening. I'm giving up. No, you better hang in there. It's going to come up out of the ground if you keep watering it. James 5. Notice what it says here in the James 5, 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren. Patient, patient, patient. That patient is, I believe, the same word over there in Hebrews 6, 12. That word. Therefore be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. How long are we going to have to be patient? To the coming of the Lord, right? Isn't that what it says? Okay. Y'all running out of patience? Oh, you know, you're supposed to be patient until Jesus comes back. Now, I've been looking around. I hadn't seen him yet. He hadn't come back yet. So I still should be patient. How long? Till the coming of the Lord. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. I love that. Now he's talking about the coming of the Lord, but you could apply this to anything. Be patient, because God's going to do exactly what he said. Yeah. Be patient, because he's not going to back up on his promise. If you prayed and you've entered into an agreement with God on his word, listen, he's going to come. He's going to make it happen. Don't you back up. Don't you give up. Be patient. Amen? Therefore, be patient. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another. That's when you get frustrated and you want to blame somebody else. Yeah, come on. You know, it's not happening like it's supposed to. It's because so-and-so didn't do their job. No, no. I've heard more preachers just whine about, you know, why they didn't have this, and they didn't have that, and this didn't have, and that didn't have, because their people just wouldn't do it. Their people wouldn't do that. I'm thinking, well, you knucklehead, it's you. You didn't believe. You didn't stand in faith. Are you with me? And then people in the congregation complain about, you know, their pastor didn't do that. Their pastor didn't do that. You know, I counsel with people, and I'm amazed at some, not y'all, okay? But I'm amazed. Their life just becomes a wreck, and I'm trying to help them. And then for long, they're out of church. And then word gets back around. They're blaming me for the mess they're in. All I did was pray with them. I just was trying to help them. Well, if I'd been a better pastor, they wouldn't have had all those problems. If I'd have moved in the Spirit and had a word of knowledge or something and known about the thing, it wouldn't have happened to start with, you know. Oh, come on now, listen. If there's something messed up in your life, it's you. I'm talking to me too. But you can fix that. That's what's so good about that. If it's always somebody else, you can't fix it. But if it's you, you can fix it. Yeah. Woo!
That's good.
I like it. I'm the problem. Oh, well, I can fix that. I can repent. I can get back in faith then. But if Tommy's my problem, I got to wait around for him to get right. Isn't that right? I mean, come on. If it's somebody else, that's why I'm in this mess, because Tommy. Oh, it's Dale. It's Dale. Well, I'm always going to be a victim. I'm just always going to be. There's no way I can ever succeed, ever get out of the mess. Because it's somebody else did it. Somebody else. No, it was you. And you can fix you. God can fix you, that's for sure. Don't grumble. That's what he says here. This is a sign of impatience. He says, you also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering in patience. They suffered persecution. They didn't suffer just, you know, broken legs and sickness and disease and all that. You'll be persecuted. People are going to make fun of you. But the 11th verse says, indeed, we count them blessed to endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job. Now, everything that happened to Job wasn't God. We know that. And he's not talking about that. He's talking about how Job still hung in there and was patient. You know a whole lot more than Job did about what was going on in his life. But it says here, the perseverance of Job and seeing the end intended by the Lord, or the end of the Lord. I read intended, but that's actually in italics. It's not even in the Bible. The end of the Lord. What is the end of the Lord? Anybody read the last chapter of Job? Looked like the end was better than the beginning. Actually, it was twice as much stuff. If you look at the count, he had twice as many camels, twice as many sheep, twice as many oxen. He had twice as much. Now, that'll make you be patient. You keep believing, keep standing on the word, you'll come up with twice as much stuff. And at the end that is intended by the Lord, he's very compassionate and he's merciful. What's he saying in all this? Hey, just hang in there. Don't you quit. Don't give up. Don't stop. God's a good God. His word is true. If you've been believing for anything. Well, if you say, well, I'm not really believing for anything right now. Well, first of all, shame on you. Because you ought to be believing for something. Amen. You ought to be believing for something better. Surely you can do more. I can do more. I know I can. And as a church, we should always be believing more. But we have to be patient. We're not impatient as we're believing. My peace doesn't come when the manifestation comes. My peace didn't come when the bill was paid off. I got my peace long before the bill was paid off. My peace comes from trust in God. You say, well, if I had all this lined out, I'll be at peace. No, you can be at peace right now. By just trusting that God's going to do what he says. And that'll help you be patient and long-suffering. And that train will finally come on down the tracks. And the caboose will show up. That's what we call Jonathan. He was caboose. Finally showed up. He was the end of the line. You know, we had his name picked out ever since, right after we got saved. Chris is about a year and a half old when I got saved. And there was a group called Hope of Glory. And they sang this song called Jonathan. And it was, Jonathan, when will I see you again? My brother, my closest friend, Jonathan. Anyway, so we picked out the name Jonathan David. And the next one comes along as a girl. So we just hang on to it. We held on to it and named her Charity Faith. Love Faith, you know. And the next one's a girl. And the next one's a girl. And finally, we just kept believing. After three girls, we got Jonathan. We had his name picked out for about 10 years. And so we pulled the train off the track. That's just, you know, got the caboose, Jonathan David.